Welcome to Egg Timer Philosophy, a podcast where philosophical ideas are scrambled up in about 5 minutes. On this episode of the Egg Timer, our topic will be the ship of Theseus and the many identity puzzles it brings about. Here's how the puzzle works. Imagine a ship that has just come back from a battle and its victors wish to memorialize the ship. So they take the ship and they set it up as a public monument or place it in a museum. But over time, the wood in the ship starts to rot, and so repair and replacement has to be made. After decades of slow alterations, it turns out that none of the original parts of the ship still remain. It is still called the ship of Theseus, but nothing physical of the original is left. So the puzzle here presents a number of interesting questions for us to think about during this egg timer. Here are at least three of them. Is it still the ship of Theseus in its newly altered condition? If not, when did it quit being the ship of Theseus? And what lessons, if any, can be gleaned about the notion of identity through time by thinking about this puzzle? Various versions of the ship of Theseus puzzle have a long history. It's kind of a perennial puzzle within philosophical circles. The first versions were discussed by Heraclitus and Plato. Some centuries after them, Plutarch would delve more into the puzzle. And then much later, you had Thomas Hobbes and John Locke also write about variants of this puzzle. Hobbes in particular asks some quite interesting questions about what would we think about taking that rotted or discarded wood and then reconstructing it into a new ship. Would that new ship then rightfully be the ship of Theseus? And even today, it would be difficult to get through an introduction to philosophy course without the ship of Theseus making an appearance as a way to motivate students to think about issues of identity over time. So one reason why the ship of Theseus puzzle just won't go away is because while lots of people have said a lot about it, no one's really given a definitive answer about the puzzle that's stuck. So people keep talking about it. Also, the idea behind the ship of Theseus is relatable to many experiences that people have. Anyone who's worked on restoring any physical object, such as a classic car, has had the opportunity to wonder at what point is my car no longer a classic, and instead something else, something different. We generally do give much greater value to an original object rather than a replica of it. We want the thing, not its copy. The puzzle also forces us to consider the identity over time of non-physical objects or entities. What does it mean for IBM or the New York Yankees or the University of Michigan to persist over time? At some point, all of these entities have a complete turnover of all past people and all past physical space. This is why sports fans often feel a sense of loss when teams change towns or stadiums. Is it still really the Chicago Cubs without Wrigley Field or the Red Sox without Fenway? We're not so sure. An easy answer here would just be to appeal to social convention and just say that the Cubs are the Cubs so long as we call them that, so long as enough people designate that as the Cubs, that we have the same Cubs. But using that approach of social convention and naming is to set the terms of identity over time in a problematic way. First, the name assigned to something or some entity doesn't seem to speak well to the actual nature of the thing being named. It's just a name, after all. Second, the idea seems to completely fall apart when applied to a physical object. Think again about the ship of Theseus. Would it make any difference to the identity of the ship if there were a beautiful plaque, which itself never changed, placed in front of the changing ship through the years? Even if the plaque were there, and even if everyone still called it the ship of Theseus, that hardly seems to give us much reason to think that the ship of Theseus persisted through time as its original parts were replaced one by one. Social convention seems to be the psychological glue that often allows us to think the identity of something or object persists over time, but it is an open question how much that psychological glue really sticks. If your name is Susan, and everyone starts calling you Jane and treating you like a different person, this might leave you confused and make it much more difficult to secure a dinner reservation, but it won't change who you actually are. The ship of Theseus puzzle is most important in its application to the identity of persons over time. Just like the ship of Theseus, All physical aspects of a person are slowly replaced over time. There is no cell in your body that was the same as it was 7 years ago. You, the physical part of you at least, is a lot like the ship, Theseus. Of course, some physical changes in a person can happen very rapidly, as in the case of amputation and now sometimes new mechanical body parts. But even if that rapid change doesn't happen, you're not the same physical person as you were 7 years ago, just as a statement about basic human biology. Think about an example from literature here. Consider the example of Robert Louis Stevenson's classic, The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. By day, Dr. Jekyll is a well-meaning and friendly medical practitioner, but at night, his very same physical body becomes the evil and violent Mr. Hyde. The same body in this case seems to harbor two very different selves, and with it arguably two different identities that persist as different entities along different timelines. The biblical story of Paul is also very informative here. In physical form, at least, Paul existed first as Saul. Saul was a pretty horrible person who, among other things, would imprison or kill early Christians, just by the sake of them being Christians. On the road to Damascus, Saul is confronted by the voice or image of Jesus. In some tellings of the story, Saul is violently thrown from his horse, although that account is not actually stated anywhere in Scripture. Saul is so fundamentally changed by the experience that he changes his name to Paul and spends the rest of his life spreading the Christian gospel and becomes responsible as a major catalyst for the spread of Christianity in the Western world. He is the born again. But the change is so radical that the identity of Saul seems to have ceased to exist on the road to Damascus when Paul is brought into existence. The last implication from the ship of Theseus for this egg timer involves punishment. Punishment only makes moral sense when we are punishing the person who did the bad action. If we punish someone who did not do the action, then it just seems like we're using a type of whipping boy to release our frustrations out on some uninvolved third party. Think again of Paul or Saul. What if someone were to punish him, him being an open question here, for all the awful things that Saul did? He did a lot of horrible things deserving of punishment. Would it be right for Paul to be punished for this? Well, only if Paul is the one deserving of punishment. But it is unclear, because it is not clear, that Saul persists over time and now exists as Paul. There might be no one to punish because it could be that Saul, the one deserving of punishment, simply no longer exists. The United States Supreme Court struggles with this very same philosophical problem of identity when it attempts to set some type of standard surrounding execution. One of the criteria they have noted is the ability of the accused to even recognize that they committed the crime leading to the execution. This can become extremely relevant in the case, say, of a prisoner who at an advanced age suffers from dementia and no longer understands why they're in prison or why they're being put to death. The apprehension by many to executing this person is not merely on grounds of compassion. It is also because there could be a gnawing feeling that the person being executed might no longer have the same personal identity of the killer decades ago. From the moment of birth, people are assigned markers that are meant to sustain their identity over time. Names, government identification numbers, birth certificates, designations such as gender on those certificates. But those designations might only offer someone a hollow notion of persistence that clashes against a much more tangible and fleeting notion of personal identity over time. Until next time on Egg Timer Philosophy, wishing you good philosophical vibes.